Friends with brews?
You act like you've never heard that every time you hear it.
No, it's not. I'm moving to the music. I'm moving to the melodious...
The music. There's no music because...
The melodious timbre of your voice, your dulcet
there
tones.
There is no music.
There is no paper jam.
Because Peter Nicolaitis hated everything that I came up with, but did not make any effort whatsoever to find something that he could live with.
Have you thought about having an AI generate our theme song?
No, but I'm sure you have.
Well, now I did.
Okay, let's talk about our brews first, because both my cup and my beer have been sitting here for a few minutes.
Well, you go first, then.
Oh. Well, I'm just having Marionberries again. This is the same one that I had like 3 episodes ago.
See, like, I go to great lengths to try to have a new beer every single time.
Peter, almost all the time I do. I don't know if I ever have repeated myself. Maybe once before. So it's okay to do that.
I will confess that I do repeat the same coffee. Anytime I have a decaf, it's always the same decaf.
Right, so which I don't do. Slide. So far, I have not repeated coffees on this show.
Fine, be that way. You and your trade coffee.
Look at that.
Ooh, Powell's. Hey, I was there. You took me there.
But look at the color. Yeah, we talked about that last time.
It's Marionberry colored.
Uh-huh. People, I should clarify. Yes, I've had this before, but it is the Ex Novo Brewing Marionberries, and it's a combination of, what is it a combination of, Peter? It's a combination of Marionberries, raspberries, and it's also got some white wheat, flaked oats, and Mosaic, whatever the hell Mosaic is.
It has Mosaic.
I thought it was an old browser of some kind.
It was. And most of our listeners, I don't know. Do you think our listeners know what Mosaic is? Based on our survey, our tens of listeners, would you think that people
I don't know
what Mosaic was or don't know what Mosaic was?
They probably do because it's probably old people that listen to us. And now I'm going to get a lot of hate mail. Actually, I'm not going to get hate mail because I've never given an email address to this. I'm going to get hate moose, hate mastodon, hate toot.
So here's an interesting thing. I'm looking on the website for Golden Road Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the makers of two beers that I've had on this cast prior. One is the famous Mango Cart, which is the thumbs up. And there was also Guava Cart. Well, I have a third beer by them today, and I'm not able to find it on their website. They might have discontinued it.
Oh, my God. What a surprise. A beer company that has a website that doesn't have one of their beers anywhere on it.
But I'm thinking that maybe they've discontinued this one, because I did buy it last year, and it was part of a three-flavor pack. It had Mango Cart, Guava Cart, and Melon Cart. Now, I will say this. Out of all three, this one is the least distinctive, least memorable, not my favorite, but...
Okay, tell us what it is. Tell us what this least favorite, immemorable, or unmemorable...
Well, it is a watermelon wheat ale with notes of honeydew and cantaloupe.
What's the name of it again?
Melon Cart.
Oh.
Not melancholy, just Melon Cart. But, that said, let me pour.
That was Peter taking a pee before he pours his beer. Here's Peter drinking the pee.
It's good. It's good. You know, if you like watermelon beers, it's good. Actually, you know, I take this back. This now, today, I think it has more flavor than the Guava Cart does.
Oh, you've got to talk about percentages and other significant figures.
I will talk about significant figures. This one is a whopping 4.0 alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
4.0%, 4% alcohol. So it's a light one. Yes.
They could sell this in Costa Rica without having to go to prison.
Now, what I think is really cool, though, is that I've just noticed now looking at their website for the first time, they have a number more. Like when last time I looked, I think they only had a few, but they've got another one called Street Cart.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is lime and salt cerveza. They have spicy mango cart.
They've got ride on cart. I guess that one doesn't say cart.
They have non-alk mango cart with no alk.
Mm.
But they also have, they've got a blonde ale now. They've got Christmas cart. So I'm guessing that's going to be like with spices. And they have an Oktoberfest. So I have to try these. Because, you know, so far they're pretty good. They also have a bunch of IPAs, which I'm not impressed by.
It looks like they've got something for the Rams. Although, correct me if I'm wrong. What is that World Champions one for? That's for the Rams, right? That looks like a football field in the background on that page for that
I'm
one.
I'm not sure which
World
one
Champions.
You're
No, it's called Whose House?
Champion Champango?
Oh, no, Whose House?
Okay. Whose
World
House?
Champions, and it's got what looks like a Rams logo. And if you click on that beer, it has a football
house.
Field in the background. So I'm guessing those are the Rams. Did the Rams win something, or apparently? I don't know. I don't follow football. American football.
It is by the Los Yes, it is a Los Angeles Rams tribute beer.
Oh, okay.
Not to be confused with the Los Angeles Rams tribute band. That's totally different.
I wish it was a Los Angeles Rams tribute beer in the sense of tribute to one who has passed on, because who the hell cares about American football, Peter?
Anyway, Rams. So yeah, they don't seem to have Melon Cart anymore, dear listener. So I'm sorry you can't enjoy this unless you already have it, I guess.
I think Spicy Mango Cart sounds pretty good. I think you should
I'm curious.
Find yourself some of that.
I'm going to go look for it. Real mango and authentic spice with a deliciously subtle finish.
Wait, what time of year is it? Are we past Christmas or are we headed to Christmas? We're past Christmas.
We
Dang it, you can't get the Christmas cart.
Past Christmas, right. Mm. But I don't know about Spicy Mango Cart. We'll find out. And I also can't get Oktoberfest for a few months either.
That's true, yeah.
But anyway, that's it. Golden Road Brewing, they do good stuff. I like their beer.
How are we going to link to this?
I don't know. I might have to Google. Golden Road Brewing.
Watermelon.
Melon Cart.
Oh, melon cart, not watermelon cart.
Melon
sorry.
Cart. Yeah. So you can find it on things like beeradvocate.com. That's probably the best. Apparently,
Craft Shack is a website.
Okay. A Craft Shack is a website. Apparently, it's been around for a while, though, because I just found a review on Beer Advocate and it's like 5 years old. So
yeah, it's good to advocate for beer.
Yeah. It's good. Even a beer needs an advocate.
Even a beer needs an advocate. Yeah.
Yep. So. I like it. I would drink this again.
I gotta say, the pictures on the Beer Advocate website are horrible. So here's what you can do. Set it down on the table. Set that can down on the table and take a nice picture of it with your iPhone for me. I will use that as the image.
I'll take it right in front of my Macintosh, too, in my Mac.
Ooh, even better. Bonus. Actually, if I look on images on the web, there's a lot of them. But that's fine. I want your image. I want it with Peter's Macintoshio. Very good. This is live iPhonography happening, dear listener. You can't beat this. You can't touch this.
Okay, photos have been taken, Scott. You can't touch this.
Beautiful. You're a good human being. Hey, remember how last time we talked when you had a oral care patient downstairs?
Oral care.
Or was it the time before? It might have been the time before. Somebody had just had mouth surgery. Hello.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now I know what you're talking about. Yes. I was thinking about myself because like I've got a bit of a pain, like a, you know, crown thing going on myself. So I was like, what is he talking about? I haven't seen the dentist. Yes. I did have someone who required oral care.
My wife is downstairs having just had gum surgery today. And so now I feel like the roles are reversed here.
We've come full circle.
She also is not allowed to have alcohol for some period of time.
There you go.
I told her, obviously, you're the beer drinker in this house, I said to her, so you'll have to stop.
I mean, if she was desperate.
It was pretty funny, though, when she came out of there, she was pretty out of it, loopy, because, of course, they gave her sedatives. And so she was they were asking her when she wanted to come back for a follow-up, and so she gave them a date, and then she was tapping on that date on her iPhone calendar furiously, and nothing was happening, and she just kept tapping it over and over and over and over and over, and I was just standing there going, are you in there? And then finally she realized she needed to go up to the top and tap the little plus sign and make the event. So she did that, but it was enjoyable watching her. She was in a pretty good mood for a while there.
Careful, you're being recorded right now. She finds out
she
that you're
does
laughing
not,
at her.
First of all, she doesn't listen to this, and secondly, she's had time to laugh at me, because when I had... I think it was my skin cancer surgery. When I had my skin cancer surgery and I had propofol and I was coming out of propofol, I was loopy. They said, are you thirsty? And I said, yep. And they said, here's some water. And they handed me a cup of water and I said, thanks. Whoosh. And dumped it right over the edge of the bed. Just no hesitation, no delay. Just thanks. Whoosh. Oh my god.
Wait, how many beers had you had prior to that surgery?
I had had propofol, the best beer of all. Oh my god. I know why Michael Jackson wanted to die at the hands of that stuff.
Are you going to review that for our next episode?
I would love to. It is the best. It is the best sleep you'll ever have. You'll wake up happy. Oh my god.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I'll drink to propofol.
And then the poor nurse was standing there looking at it, and I'm just laughing hilariously. I will drink to propofol. Oh my god. Yeah, at least I had trained professionals.
I have a topic. Yes. And it does relate to smart homes and stuff.
There are no smart homes, Peter.
So for about a year and a half or so, I have been on an Ecobee. I switched to them from Nest two Black Fridays ago. And in general, it works. Some of the stuff, though, I don't know if I'm just doing it wrong or if they just do it differently. But one thing I used to have with my Nest was if I would leave, you know, and the geofence would trip, it would just turn the heat way down. Right. So turn the heat down in the summertime. It would just turn the AC off. Right. So I would say go to Vermont for a few days and, you know, it would say like, yeah, well, we're going to set the heat to 45 because there's no reason to keep it any warmer than that. The reason I got rid of the Nest is it stopped reliably tracking the geofence. And then one day I was up in Vermont during a cold snap for like 3 days and the heat was blasting here the entire time. Because it never realized that I left. And I got, frankly, you know, very angry and, you know, ripped the thing out of the wall and replaced it with a new one. Okay, great. The Ecobee, when I leave, it's like, oh yeah, you're gone. We're going to take the temperature and drop it from like 72 to 68. So it just drops it just a little bit, but it never really goes to the away depth that I would expect it to. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong with that. So that's one question.
I don't know, but one thing I will tell you is if you're trying to use it with both HomeKit and use the Ecobee app and set up triggers inside Ecobee itself, mm-hmm. you're going to meet very limited success.
I'm not currently able to use it with HomeKit at all because the device is not registered. That's different. We'll get to that. Just plain old Ecobee and its app.
So, yeah, I have no idea. I don't use any of the Ecobee functions. But I will tell you this, Ecobee does tie into your local electric companies. Mm-hmm. They can get messages about, hey, this is a time where you need to save energy.
Yep.
And so like during a hot spell when everybody in the universe has their AC on, it might raise your temperature a bit automatically without.
I've done that.
And then you'll just be in your house and all of a sudden you'll be going like you're irrationally angry. And then you go look at your Ecobee and you realize why.
You're on energy saver mode or whatever, or it's preconditioning or something.
It's been talking to the electric company and they're like, you know what, this guy looks way too comfortable. No, I'm not saying that's your problem. I'm not relating it to that at all. I'm just saying it does things like that. That's the only thing that I have where the Ecobee is in control. Everything else, any triggers, any stuff that I want to have change on a schedule, any stuff that I want to have change on a geofence, it's all HomeKit, yes.
All HomeKit. Well, hopefully with my new one, which I do now have sitting downstairs, I'll be able to take advantage of these because hopefully it'll actually work.
So I guess what I'm saying is I don't know. I seem to remember, though, there's a way for you to say in this mode, here's what the temperature should be. Like you should be able to set a temperature that you want it to drop to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that you do have a temperature set that you want it to drop to when you're at home and it never goes there. Is that what you're saying?
Right. The comfort settings.
Comfort.
If I go into it, I'm just curious. Let me go into it right now. My Ecobee. More. Settings. Comfort settings. Away. So right now, the away desired heat is set. So this would be default because I had to reset this thing a while ago. Right now, the default away is 64 degrees. I'm going to crank that down. I'm going to make it
Well, then it's working.
I'm going to make it like 50. All right, I just made it 50, and I'm going to save that. We'll see if that works next time.
Okay, so wait, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can you leave for a little bit? Here, fine. Can you go
now?
Yeah, you wanted to find out if this works.
Sure, but you were the one who said you were on a time crunch. So if you want, you know, just monologue for the last half of the show, why not?
Why not?
So we'll see what happens. But anyway, after my long saga.
Yeah, talk about the saga, because it sounds to me like the latest in the steps in order to resolve this did not work, which you were thinking it wasn't going to work.
Yes, did not work.
All right. So explain to dear listener, where did you talk about this? Did you talk about this on Blurring the Lines? Because I've heard this story before. Well, I know that you've said some of it to me already, but I think you guys... Yeah, but didn't you guys talk about it on Blurring the Lines?
I think we did, too. I think we discussed it over there. I don't recall at this point, but Google does.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Anyway, after many, 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 many hours of troubleshooting, I was able to finally get my Ecobee to pair with HomeKit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as it would go. And like, it would pair it, and it was like, oh, you've got these sensors. You have a kitchen door sensor, and you have an upstairs sensor, and you have a bedroom sensor. Do you want to add all these? I was like, yes. What room do you want to add it? Bedroom, kitchen, living room, dining room. Yep, perfect. That's great. Got it all. Accessory is not responding. And, so, you know, I went through all kinds of troubleshooting, trying to use my phone as a hotspot, trying to, you know, they're like, oh, reboot your router, reboot your phone.
What do you mean use your phone as a hotspot?
Reboot your Eero. I use my phone as a hotspot because they're telling me it's got to be something wrong with your internet provider, your wireless. So if you use your phone as a hotspot to pair with HomeKit, you'll be fine. And so I tried that, and of course it didn't work. Later on, one of their techs said, well, no, they have to both be on the same wireless network. They have to be on the same Wi-Fi. I'm like, well, my phone doesn't, it is generating Wi-Fi. It's not on Wi-Fi when it's acting as a hotspot. So that's not going to happen.
Right.
So they just had me, you know, flailing. They had no idea what they were doing. And then finally, you know, after I took a break over, you know, in Costa Rica for a bit, I come back. They said, oh, we, and I quote, changed something on the back end. Try again. And this time trying again, it actually would pair. Normally it would just try and try and try. And it's like unable, you know, the accessory did not respond, cannot pair. Suddenly one day it just works. Now I'm pretty sure to make that happen, I had to use my Verizon Fios routers wireless and bypass the Eero altogether. But even then, once that was done, now that it's paired, it shows up. I click on it in HomeKit, but it says no response. The accessory is not responding. And that's where it's been stuck since it connected. So that's as far as it's gone. So they said, for all the trouble they were having, they would ship me a new unit. And so they upgraded my Ecobee 3 Lite to the latest Ecobee with the Smart Assistant. So it's a significant upgrade. That's the good news. The bad news is it's physically a different form factor, so I have to rip the whole mounting bracket out of the wall and rewire everything again.
Which you did already, right?
No, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, so you don't know if this will fix it. The last step might fix it. Okay.
It might. I don't know yet. But
can't you just let it hang off the wall for now? Can't you just like...
Well, I still have to pull the old one out and undo all the wires and redo them and stuff.
The wiring is super easy. Just let it hang
there. I know, but I've got other things to do. I've got other things to do. And number two, the mounting bracket, like the screws where it mounts into, they've been like drilled into and out of so many times. It's very weak and wimpy and it doesn't hold very well. So I have to have my electrician come back for another small project. And I'm going to probably just have him mount a whole new little bracket in there, and that way it'll be firm and safe, and I won't screw it up.
See, just to test if it actually made a difference, I would just connect the wires and let it hang there and see if it does anything.
Then once it does or doesn't, I have to undo it and put the old one back in and mount it back into place, and you know, it's just
taking three wires out of the back of an Ecobee is not...
No. It's not, but mounting the damn thing back on so it stays in the wall is, and that's why I don't want to do it.
But what I'm saying is, if it doesn't make a difference, are you going to keep the new one anyway?
Yeah, why not?
Because apparently...
It'll be a smart speaker, so I can get rid of an A word, or I can, if it works with HomeKit, I have Siri there. So, yeah. Or I could turn around and sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep the old one. But one other thing. So I have the little remote sensors, the smart sensors. I forget. It comes with little sensors, right? So I've got one upstairs here in my room, in my third floor room, and I have one in the bedroom. And they participate, right? So you can say this room will participate in your home setting or your sleep setting.
Right.
Last night, and again today, I'm downstairs, or I was up here today, and I'm like sweltering. It is so freaking hot, and I don't know what's going on. I look at the, the heat is just blasting out of this thing, full bore. I look at the Ecobee, and it's like, yeah, the temperature in this room is 76, and we're just pumping more heat into it. And I was like, yeah, but I only want it to be 71. Well, it was super hot in the room that I was in. But it was cold in another room where I wasn't. Now, I thought that if I left and I wasn't in that room and it didn't detect motion, that it would say, there's nobody here.
I don't think that's how it works. I think it just tries to balance the sensors.
It just tries to balance all the heat. And that does not happen very well in a three-story townhouse.
No, it doesn't.
And it knows that it's a three-story townhouse because it asked me during setup, what type of home do you have? Is it an apartment? Is it a condo? I said, it's a townhouse. So that's a little frustrating. But I also have it integrated with my Flare smart vents, which I still haven't exactly figured out. It's like, so the Ecobee itself is in the living room, and I also have vents in the living room. And it seems like if I change the temperature on the Ecobee, the living room temperature that the Flare vents are set to tracks that. Sometimes vice versa, because there's a separate app for the vents, and you can set the temperature there. All it does with the vent, though, is it controls whether it's open or closed. So it's like, oh, it's cold in the living room. Let's open the vents and let the heat out, right? But there have definitely been conditions where they're not getting along, and like it's cold in the living room, but... and it's calling for more heat, but the Flare has been set to close.
The vent's closed, yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, because of these stupid, you know, these heat sensors, I'm wondering, like, should I just get rid of them? Because they're not really helping. And I'm not really clear, too. I didn't even double check if the Flares themselves have temperature sensors on them as well, if the vents do, because sometimes it will be showing like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. the temperature's 72 degrees, but I looked at the Ecobee sensor and it's like, no, it's 76. So they seem to have their own idea as to where the temperature comes. So I don't know. It's been frustrating, but I've found that I seem to have the best results just doing it manually. I say, open the vents on the third floor or close the vents on the third floor and turn up the heat or turn down the heat. And I seem happier with that.
Yeah, this is why I don't know anything about those Flares, but I'm guessing they will never be on HomeKit.
Probably not. They cost about $90 a piece.
Doesn't mean anything.
So, well, Flare, I mean, you can sometimes, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think that they are HomeKit.
They would say if they were HomeKit compatible.
Yeah. I was not into that at the time when I bought them, so I don't remember, but I do have all of their boxes downstairs, so I could find out.
No,
that
they're not. There's no HomeKit. There's no.
Yeah. So, you know, overall, though, I do like them. They work pretty well. I don't like the fact that they are Zigbee, but they require you to buy their proprietary controller, Puck, as well. They won't work with like just another controller.
And your room sensors, too.
Mm-hmm.
Your room sensors know what rooms run hot or cold. With Flare, you can finally fix that. Now, here's the thing. What I don't know is what'll happen when your Ecobee is on HomeKit. It's still using the sensors, though, even if it's on HomeKit. So in theory, it should still work.
It should.
What it should do is it should make it so that you don't have to worry about your vent. But obviously, you're saying that's not your experience so far. It's not really working.
Yeah, I think I have more problems with the Ecobee sensors. So all I did is I just took all of the sensors out. I'm like, don't participate in any of these settings.
Oh.
Which makes me wonder, why do I even have the sensors? I don't know. So anyway. Such is life. First world problems, my friend. First world problems. I'm going to drink more beer. How about you?
I am too, but there's not a whole lot more to drink. There's this much left.
I also have not a whole lot more to drink, but let's fix that. Let's make it so we have no more to drink.
Your beer just got all fuzzy.
It is. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. So that's Ecobee versus Flare. What else is going on? Heard about any good bank collapses lately?
No, but I will say this. I saw some screenshots of Jason Calacanis' tweets. His all-caps tweets telling the government to get their ass in gear and save everybody.
Right. Grab your guns. Who's with me?
These guys, they do not want the government to ever be involved in anything. They want them to stay out of their way. These guys are basically techno-libertarians until they need help. And then all of a sudden they want to be part of society. And it just pisses me off. These guys are so bad for society. They're so bad for the world. They're so bad for the world of technology. This is why when we were talking about Mosaic, I was thinking about Egghead. What's his name? The guy with the big round oval head? Andreessen.
Andreessen. Mark Andreessen.
No, I'm serious. He looks like an alien skit from Saturday Night Live.
He's definitely been moving in that direction, yes.
Yeah. And so he is another one that is just bad for society. He's just an asshole. He's just a flat-out asshole.
Yep. A lot of popping sounds. Even more.
It just kills me when people don't want to participate in society. They want to color outside the lines. They want to do their own thing. They want to reap the benefits and not share with anyone else. But then when it comes time for them to suffer, they don't want to. They want someone to come bail them out. And they're so transparent about it. Like, they don't even care who sees what they are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, they think they're above the law.
Do they care at all? Apparently not. I know the answer is no, but I don't know how you get to become that kind of person.
Narcissism?
Probably, I guess. Yeah. They are the main character.
Mm. Ah.
You seem to be enjoying that.
I am. I'm more than I expected to. I'm getting to like, you know, like less strong. I won't say weak, but I guess relatively speaking, weaker beers. And I'm okay with them.
They do have a benefit. I like being able to drink them and not feel anything. Like,
yeah, I don't get plastered. I mean, I feel something.
Yeah, but you can have one beer and it's not going to wreck your day. And like a couple hours later, you could even do a workout if you wanted to.
Couple hours, sure. Today's a rest day for me, though.
Yeah, but what I mean is if you drink a 9%er, you're probably not going to feel good during a workout later, even if you wait 3 hours or so.
Probably not going to work out the next day with a 9% beer. I'm serious. Oh. I'm serious. Oh. Those things knock me down. So, whew. Ah, boy, I tell you. So that was fun. Yeah, Silicon Valley Bank did not directly affect me yet, but we'll probably all feel it in the,
you just made me curious. Why would it affect you?
Well, maybe I invested in firms there, or maybe I own shares of Silicon Valley Bank. Mm-hmm.
You would know, wouldn't you? And if you don't know, it would be so diluted that it shouldn't matter that much.
No, I know it did not affect me directly. I just said that. I know it did not affect me.
Right, but you said something to the effect...
It will affect everybody indirectly.
Maybe.
Because we're going to have greater regulation coming down the road, and that's going to require... What's going to cost more? Interest rates are going to have to be higher because banks are going to have to absorb more money. So...
Oh, my God. They're making so much money, the banks don't have to absorb money. They will. They don't have to.
But they will.
Yeah. The banks, they're not suffering. I can't join the bank pity party here.
Pity party bank. Pity party bank. Anyway, so I've got a marathon coming up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you when that was.
About 3 weeks.
Are you on schedule?
I am. I'm a little concerned. This schedule is... It really seems really light. I'm just afraid. I don't know if I'm not sure if I feel prepared.
Well, that's what I was wondering. That's why I was asking, because when I look at, I don't check all your workout notifications, but most of the ones I check, it doesn't look like you're putting in as much distance yet as I thought you would be.
I'm not. But I'm on track with according to the schedule. So we'll see. I just don't know. I can't vouch for the efficacy of the schedule. So
who wrote this schedule?
That'll take time.
Mark Andreessen.
Mark Cucuzella.
It was a Mark. Does he have a big egg-shaped head?
A cuckoo Mark.
He's a cuckoo bird.
He does not. He does not have an egg-shaped head. So, yeah.
Well, then what can he possibly know about marathons, Peter?
I know. I mean, geez.
With his tiny little cranium, how smart can he be?
Little guy, what was I thinking? So,
that's hilarious. Okay, remind me which marathon this is.
This is the Cheap Marathon in Derry, New Hampshire.
Cheap Marathon? Are you serious? That's the name of it? Oh my God, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is so awesome. The Cheap Marathon.
The Cheap Marathon. Yep.
Oh my God.
The Cheap Marathon.
It's on millenniumrunning.com, is that right? Or is millenniumrunning.com just some random... Oh, okay.
That's the company that puts it on, yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. The Cheap Marathon. You know what that means? They're going to take terrible pictures of you.
Are they going to take any? Who knows? Oh, man.
They'll take a picture of you with some 20-year-old Android phone, and it'll just capture your feet, maybe your shin. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that looks like fun. It looks like a neat course. It looks like you're running through the woods, partially.
Yeah, it's an old rail trail, you know, rails to trails.
Oh, nice.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And I got words. Hello, beer.
The words, they hard.
I got an Airbnb, a 9-minute walk away from the start of the race.
Oh, so does the end go back around to the start? I would assume it does.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but after running a marathon, are you going to be able to walk for 9 minutes?
I think I can handle 9 more minutes, yeah. Especially at the rate this is going. So, yeah.
I don't. You're going to eat so many M&Ms, you're going to be sick, you're going to get to the finish line, you're going to fall over and puke. In which case, if you do fall over, they'll get your picture, because before they were just taking your feet, remember?
Yeah, but you said it won't be a good picture, so it'll be
no,
fine.
It no won't be a good picture. Even if they took it, even if it was a beautiful picture, it still won't be good, because it'll be you laying on the ground puking M&Ms. And then, and then you're going to have to get up, pretend like it didn't happen, and run, you know. Then you could just be a Forrest Gump and just run straight to the thing that's 9 minutes away.
Run, Forrest, run. Oh, man.
It'll be great. That's cool. No, that's a good idea. Are all two of your, it was two other guys that are doing this with you, right?
One gal, one guy. Yeah. And the gal, Carola, she is like way more prepared, I think. And she, like the other, like last week I ran like 10 miles and she ran like 18. And I'm like, yeah, that's more like what I expected to be doing. But again, given the injury that I'm coming back from, I think moderation is probably okay. So I'm still running a freaking marathon. So.
How is your body right now? Are you still wearing a brace and all that stuff?
I wore one yesterday. I did not wear one the day before for my 1 hour jog. Oh. So, yeah, it's more proactive stuff. But yeah.
That's good.
I'm more or less put back together. So, yeah, things are looking good. So, knock on wood.
I just hope that after this one you don't have any more stress fractures. What shoes are you going to wear?
I just ordered my first new pair of running shoes in like a year or so. I ordered a pair of the Ultra Escalante Racers.
Oh.
They should be here day after tomorrow. I have been running in the Ultra Escalante 2.5s, which my running buddy Carola describes as, and I quote, her slow shoes. So I'm hoping that by upgrading to the racers that I'll gain a little speed.
Okay, these definitely have more cushion. These actually look pretty good. I like these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that what I really want is something slightly thicker than my Merrell Vapor gloves.
Okay, so yeah, well, that's not hard to do. So
right, that's what I mean. They're so minimal. There's almost nothing there.
So the Ultra Racer is fairly minimal, but it is not a minimalist shoe. It is a zero drop shoe, but it's not a minimalist shoe.
And that might be enough for me. Zero drop might be all I really need.
Yeah. Now, I have had a lot of fun, though, running in my Zero Speed Forces again.
Ooh.
Got those out two or three times this past week. Those are like super minimalists. They're like even thinner than the Vapor gloves.
Oh, but, I don't know if I want that then.
Yeah, but they feel really good and I was pretty fast with them. So, but yeah. I would not move in that direction. One thing I will say though is they do seem to provide not more support, uh-huh. But they provide more protection against like rocks and pebbles and stuff than the Vapor gloves do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Vapor gloves have nothing.
Yeah, so that's my plan there. And then let's see. I'm curious. I wanted to ask you about this. You are an Apple TV Plus subscriber, correct?
That is correct.
And wait, do you just do Apple One?
Yeah.
You do the whole thing?
Yeah.
You're full in. Okay. So you get news, you get TV, you get health or workouts, fitness plus, right?
Yeah.
You get all those. Right. Okay.
I almost never look at this stupid news app though.
Well, I have like 3 months of the free, you know, of the news app, and I haven't touched it. I haven't really done anything with it.
It's a downer. It's not something you should read or look at if you want your mental health intact.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I haven't been. So I'm like, great. I've got this free for 3 months. And so far, I used it once. And I was like, yeah, this is why I don't do that. So
yeah. Yeah. This is why I don't do that.
Anyway. But Apple TV Plus, are you watching Ted Lasso?
I did. So far, there's only been one new episode, but I did watch it.
Okay. I'm not there yet. So I have not resubscribed.
I'd call you a big dummy poo-poo face if you didn't.
You're a big dummy poo-poo face if you don't, Peter.
So I have not yet resubscribed to watch Ted Lasso or any others. I've been hearing good things, though. I've been hearing in my echo chamber more good things about Apple TV Plus, and it's the cheapest out of all the services, Netflix, HBO, you know, Disney or whatnot.
They have a lot of good shows on there right now.
That's what I'm hearing.
The other one that I've been watching is called Shrinking with...
I heard good things about that.
Yeah. A different Jason.
Yep.
Not Jason Calacanis, either of those.
Not Calacanis. No. I wouldn't watch a show about him.
They're not all caps tweeting the government to bail them out.
Although I am watching Silicon Valley again, which has a Jason Calacanis-like character in it. So,
isn't that on HBO?
Yeah.
See, I don't want to watch that because why would I watch that? It's just too close to reality.
It is, and it's freaking hilarious. That's why. That's why you would watch it. It is hilarious. It is so well done. Almost every single episode is just like, it's just one step away from absolute reality, but it's also hilarious.
Yeah. I hate modern Silicon Valley so bad. Silicon Valley is a pox on society right now. It's a cancer.
Definitely could be doing more harm than good, but I don't know. Some days, to some people, it's definitely doing more harm than good.
And it's not even silicon. There's nothing silicon about it. It's venture capitalists and people writing software.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing. What people call Silicon Valley now, it has nothing to do with Silicon Valley. And the actual places where they make silicon aren't in San Francisco at all.
Not anymore. Oh, boy.
No, they never were. They were always in San Jose and Santa Clara and... the other Sands, but not the San Francisco.
San Jose.
I doubt that you could put a fab in San Francisco. So you should get Apple TV. You could get Apple TV Plus.
I could.
You could watch Ted Lasso. I want you to because I want to know what you think of it.
I will, but I'll probably wait. I'll probably wait a month or so. How many episodes are going to be in this final season?
I don't know. The same.
Well, all right. I am watching The Mandalorian. I did just finish watching The Last of Us.
How is The Mandalorian? Because I've only watched part of one episode. But then my wife was watching it the other day, and I looked over and I saw that he was back on, is it Tatooine, where that lady who fixes his ship is always... But, yes. And I just saw her again, and I'm like, they're just doing the same old hits over and over again. Is it better than that?
They definitely have a lot of repeats. Oh, it's definitely better than that, too. No, yeah. No, they're bringing a lot of recurring characters in, but that's not a bad thing.
It's not just 100% fan service and no...
No, not 100. There's a lot of fan service, and apparently, I did not know this. I'm not that much of a Star Wars geek, but apparently, like, every scene has some kind of Easter eggs that if you watched all the shows, read the books, read the comics, played the games, etc., there's tons of fan service payoffs that... I don't know. And, you know, when I was a kid, I loved Star Wars. I was never super all into Star Wars, though.
Yeah, you didn't read all the third-party books and all that other horse poop.
No. I don't think I even ever bought one, because Dark Horse Comics used to publish the Star Wars comics. I don't think I ever even bought a single one of those. I had a bunch of the toys, but then shortly thereafter, I found out about G.I. Joe, and I... promptly migrated, and you know, so that's where I was. But you know, I saw all the movies, I enjoyed them. Well, okay, the last two, pretty lame, but you know, I liked them. But out of all of those things, as far as cinematics or TV goes and stuff, I still think Mandalorian is the best of all of those.
I think that, oh my god, what was it called? The one where The one where they went to get the Death Star plans.
Rogue One.
Yeah, I thought that was the best. That was my favorite Star Wars movie of all.
It was good. I like The Mandalorian better.
Yeah.
Yep.
I guess the problem with The Mandalorian is it has the normal problem of TV, which is TV budgets are inherently going to be smaller. And so if you have something go on for long enough, you can see where they did spend the budget and where they didn't spend the budget. And
yes,
that leaves a very uneven taste that I'm not a giant fan of.
But then again, if you watch the movies that came out in the late 90s and early 2000s, or the ones that came out in the late teens versus the ones that came out in 1977, you can also see an absence of budget and an absence of special effects capabilities.
Right, but at least the early movies are consistent within themselves.
Fair, yes. Yeah, I get that. There have been a couple of episodes where it didn't feel to me like they were skimping on budget as much as just like the direction was lacking a little bit. I was like, you really could have done better than this.
Yeah, they're just like, let's go home.
Pretty much.
But you're right. That does not happen very often in Mandalorian. It's pretty good. And I don't know what their budget is, but whatever resources they have, they seem to do a pretty amazing job with them.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I like it.
It beats the hell out of the Boba Fett one.
Oh, you mean Mandalorian season 2.5?
Yeah, Boba Fett was just sad. It was just sad. It's like, I don't know why people liked Boba Fett to begin with, but whoever liked him can't like him anymore because like they just lame-o'd him out of existence. No.
They did lame-o Boba Fett. I don't know what the hell they were thinking there. He definitely got lame-o'd.
They took this guy who was supposed to be a badass bounty hunter, and they turned him into a guy who just wants to sit on a throne and have people pay homage to him. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
are you
but he wants to
me?
Do so diplomatically and be a nice guy, though. You know, he's not just sitting there like a hut. He's like, oh, there's problems. Well, let's go out and see what we can do. Let's go, you know, and oh, well, we shouldn't just kill this guy. Let's hear him out. You know, all of a sudden right. He's a nice guy. I was like, what the hell happened? So,
yeah.
Anyway. But in addition to that, though, speaking of Pedro Pascal, I also finished watching The Last of Us. Well, yes, The Hot Wings also. I saw that, too. That was entertaining. But The Last of Us was even better than The Last of the Hot Wings.
They should have named that episode The Last of Us Hot Wings.
The Last of Us. That would be pretty funny. So I watched the whole first season of The Last of Us, which is the only season right now.
I don't think that's an HBO thing, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it was good. It was good. I did like it. It's definitely, you know, a new twist on post-apocalyptic zombie movie or series.
Was it written by ChatGPT?
It was not. It's not as gross as, you know, say The Walking Dead. Not as much gratuitous gore.
What was your preacher's name?
Jeremiah Strong. Oh, but no, I liked The Last of Us. So minor spoiler alert, which they pretty much give away in the first scene. The premise is that mushrooms evolve to take over humans.
Okay. Anybody who's done mushrooms could probably see where that came from.
Well, I do this mushroom every day. This is the funny part. I regularly take Cordyceps militaris for increased focus and energy. And the funny thing is, the precept for this movie is that Cordyceps militaris evolves to a point where it can survive in human beings.
Oh, so this is literally the exact mushroom that you're...
It is literally... If I had my bottle, I would hold up the label and show you it is the exact mushroom that I eat.
Oh my God, there's a website called mushroomrevival.com. I'm not kidding.
And that's where I buy mine from. That's where I get mine from. No, Mushroom Revival is where I get some. If you're interested in, I'll send you a referral code. Highly recommended. Anyway, definitely like The Last of Us. It got a little extreme, you know, a little bit graphic at times. But overall, I enjoyed it. So it was pretty good.
I installed a browser. Is it a browser extension? It is a browser extension. I installed a browser extension called the Magic Highlighter.
The Magic Highlighter.
But here's the thing. So like if you do a normal search on a website, right? Just do a normal search in the search bar or the search / URL bar. Whatever terms you search for, it will highlight those terms on the page that you go to from the search results.
Oh, that's nice.
Can't decide if I like it or not because it always defaults to yellow. And if I want a different color, I have to do the command shift F to bring up that extension's pop-up, and then I can select a different color. I don't want to do that. I want to...
Is this a Safari extension?
Yeah, it's in the Mac App Store, okay. I just said.
Sorry, I missed that part. I've had a beer. Back off.
No, you haven't. You've had a 4%. That's not a beer.
That's a beer. It's a weak beer, but it's a beer.
Yeah, so anyway, I can't decide if I like it, because it's kind of cool that all the... So you type in some search terms, you click on one of the results, and then on that page, it highlights all the terms that you search for.
Okay.
But like I said, I want to be able to pick a color and have it stick to that color from then on, instead of having it always pop up in yellow, because I just hate the yellow highlighting. And the other thing, too, is when it highlights some phrases on a web page, you can do Command-Shift-F to open the options for the magic highlighter, and you can unclick, or you can click on one of the terms to make it go away so that it's only highlighting specific terms that you want. But I don't want that. I would like a way to be able, I would like something that you can click on and says, stop highlighting any of them.
Hmm. Okay.
Because I want to do that sometimes, but most of the time I just find it bloody distracting. Like most of the time when I do search terms, I don't want those specific words on the page. I want the article. I want the information about the topic. Hmm. And not where on the page are those specific words, you know. So sometimes it is super handy, but a lot of times it's not. And so I haven't decided what I'm going to do with this. But anyway, there it is. Use it as you will.
It sounds cool. I generally try to install as few extensions in my browser as I can. So I'm not sure if I think it sounds cool enough for me to actually install it. I don't even know what I think I have one password installed in Safari. That might be the only
extension. Yeah, I've got one password. Right, I've got one blocker, which is good. I've got save to good links, which I like to be able to save stuff to good links. Yeah. I've got homecoming for Mastodon, which allows you to open Mastodon URLs in your own instance. So like if you get someone's Mastodon URL or something, you can use this to automatically go to your instance, and then you can follow that person or something like that.
Yep.
I've got a Kaleidoscope dev tool thing in there, which will diff web pages for me. It's a full featured app, but it also has a Safari thing so that I can diff web pages, which comes in nice when you're doing development work, for example. So I have the magic highlighter. I've got subscribe to feed so that I can dump websites right into NetNewsWire, which is what I use for my RSS. I've got Noir, which allows you to, for websites that don't have a dark mode, if you're in dark mode on the Mac, it will make the web page dark for you so that you're not blasted in the middle.
How is that?
It's okay. It's not bad. The good news is, first of all, you can set custom themes, so you can decide how the dark web page is going to look. But you can also do... Oh, what are the shortcuts? Oh, my God.
Apparently, there is a competing browser extension called turnoffthelights.com.
Yeah. There's several of these.
And they are bad-mouthing the Noir extension.
Yeah, I don't. Anybody that badmouths somebody else, I automatically am prejudiced against the person doing the badmouthing.
Yeah.
It's not a good look. Anyway, there's a keyboard shortcut for Noir that you can do, and so you can toggle through auto, off, or on. So if you go to a website and for some reason it's screwing up the legibility, you can just real quick do a keyboard shortcut to turn it off for that site, and so then your web page is legible again. That's one thing I do like about it. I have a plugin for Raindrop, which is what I keep all my bookmarks in, raindrop.io. And then I've got a couple for cleaning stuff up, like Super Agent for Safari, which fills out cookies so you never get the cookie pop-ups, and Vinegar, which replaces the YouTube player with a minimal HTML player. And it also... Does Vinegar block YouTube ads? I don't think it does, but something I have installed does block YouTube ads. I think it might be one blocker that I'm using that blocks the YouTube ads. Anyway, I've got something that blocks YouTube ads, so when a YouTube video is playing, it just skips right over the ads for me.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So I have a few. I have a few, but they're all useful. They're all good stuff.
Cool.
I definitely don't install... I certainly wouldn't just install random stuff from the Chrome extension store. No. And I'm pretty careful about installing extensions in who I hear about them from. Or are they already part of apps that I already use and trust? I don't.
Like 1Password, for instance.
Like 1Password, Good Links, you know, people that I know who those people are. NetNewsWire guy, Brent Simmons, he's written a lot of stuff. In fact, He's written several of the scripts that I use. He wrote the Bunch app that I use. He's got a lot of good Mac automation tools. So,
okay.
So there you go. I don't know how we got down that rabbit hole.
I don't either, but I think that's about all I have at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's all I have too. By the way, in the time we've been podcasting, it's gone from looking like a sunny, cheerful morning in your apartment, in your condo, in your townhouse. Sorry, I got it wrong. I want to make sure that I match what you told Echo B. It's gone from that to looking like you're about to hold some kind of black magic ceremony.
Well, that's because the sun went down.
Is Aleister Crowley coming over to your house right now?
Yeah, probably.
The house did go down. Peter, your house went down.
The house just went down. Yeah.
The sun did go down really rapidly because it pretty much went down while I was looking at my Safari extensions. It was that fast.
Yeah, well, the sun did go down, and yeah, it happens quick around here. But luckily, I can say things like, "Hey Siri, turn on all the lights," and now lights turn on. Amazing.
The one thing about HomeKit that bothers me, and I know that this is a hard problem to solve, but it's the variability with timing. Sometimes I'll say, turn on my bedroom lamp or whatever, and bam, it is on. Uh-huh. And other times, I've already stumbled around the dark, tripped over three things, and made it to the side of my bed by the time it turns on the bloody lamp.
Mine tends to be more on the trip over the side of the bed stumbling time frame. And that's one place where I'll definitely tell you that A-Word, the lady in the tube from our friends from Bezos and other World Domination.
From Spy World Incorporated.
They have that beat like no one's business. Yeah. So I've definitely, like, there'll be times that I'll be waiting for, you know, for Apple. And while I'm waiting, I'll just tell the lady in the tube to do it, and she does it before Apple is just like, sorry, something went wrong.
Let's put it this way. Jeff Bezos already knows what lights you're turning on and where you are in your house before Siri can even process your command.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely does. Yeah, no question. Yeah. So
he's definitely concerned about that. He doesn't have anything else on his mind.
So if people want to get a hold of us...
I have no idea.
Do they know how to?
Well, I'll be downstairs in just a minute checking on my wife. So.
Okay, great. So if you need to get a hold of us, you can go downstairs and check on Scott and his wife.
Go downstairs to my house, yeah.
Yes, perfect.
Friendswithbrews.com. It has all of the episodes. It has more transcripts every day, Peter. In fact, I just finished transcribing episode 2, although I haven't quite posted that yet. And it has all the brews. It has a wonderful search feature so that you can search for things that we've drunk or things that have made us drunk. And it also has the Friends page, I think it's called. And that gives links to our websites and our Mastodon, our elephant-sized instances that we're part of. No? Too soon?
Elephant-sized instances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm going to let you just...
You have a big red button.
I'm going to push it.